This is part 4 of 4 of your gift will be challenged before it will produce a harvest. I'm going to open with a scripture that we're all very, very familiar with. You've been around the kingdom long enough, you've heard this scripture, and it's awesome. When you're having a bad day, this is the scripture you read. But I'm also going to rewind a little bit in that chapter after I read it to you, and then we're going to read really what that scripture means for us in our lives. But in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, we'll come back and go back to verse 4 or 5 in a moment. But it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." Hallelujah. We could have just an amazing Holy Ghost service on that scripture, couldn't we? He says the Lord. It says, "Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, "Then you'll call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Anybody want God to listen to you? "And you will seek me, you'll find me when you search me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from the nations and from the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you to the place from which I have caused you to be carried away captive." Awesome scripture, isn't it? Everybody say rewind. So let's skip back a few scriptures here to see really what that scripture is talking about. So what we do know, just before I read that portion of scripture, I want you to understand Jeremiah is the prophet of God. He's going to send a prophetic letter from God to God's people who were imprisoned in Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And here's what he wrote. He says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive." Some of you in this room are in a place of captivity. I know that by the Spirit of God. "Whom I have caused." Who? Wait a second here. It says, "All who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem into a place called Babylon." God instituted that move. We all want to be in Jerusalem, don't we? We all want to have that Jerusalem experience. But what we're going to talk about this morning is the fact that wherever God will place you, he wants to bless you. Amen? And so he says he caused them to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. God did that. And he commands them. He says, "Build houses and dwell in them." Oh, wait a second here. How long are we going to be here? Right? "Plant gardens, eat their fruit." Whoa, wait a second here. I know it takes time to grow a garden. I mean, that's a whole season. "Take wives, begat sons and daughters." Whoa, wait a second here. I know how long it takes to make a baby. And it says don't just make one. It says make sons and daughters. Uh-oh, we're going to be here for a while. It says take wives for your sons. Oh, man, there's a whole generation that just in one little sentence just went by. "And give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons." Whoa, wait a second. Now we're into the next generation. "And daughters, that you may be increased" where? In Babylon. Right where God has placed them. "And you will not be diminished in any way." This next scripture is where we're really going to feature most of this message. And it says, "And seek," what? "The peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray to the Lord for it." For what? For peace. "For in its peace, you will have peace." In our lives, God has placed us in many, many places. And it's not always easy. Raise your hand if you think it's easy. I got Andy back there. We'll talk to him. Hallelujah. Let's get some pastors and elders back there and deal with that. Andy says life is easy. But wherever God has placed you, he has placed you there for a purpose. And that purpose is not something that we should do one day and not the next and be wishy-washy. The Bible's very clear. If you're double-minded, you're unstable in everything you're going to do. But we are to pray to the Lord for peace, for in its peace you will have peace. Anybody in here had a storm or in a storm right now in your life? How many people wish they could just go over to Jerusalem where everything is good and everything's wonderful and the temple's there and all the good stuff and our culture is the leading culture there? And you know what I'm saying? To be a Christian today is difficult. It is unusual almost because we've got to show up not like how the world would want us to show up as the church, but how the church is supposed to show up. And there's a big difference there. And God has called you to a place, not only in sharing the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ, but in your work, in your family, in your circumstances, whatever you're dealing with in your life, God has placed you there. You've got to get that into your mind. And if God hasn't placed you there, once you get into faith to say, I accept where I am, God can move you to where he needs you to be. And it's a slight shift in a revelation you can get. It's a slight shift. And you just saying, you know what? I'm not going to be in fear. I'm not going to be in doubt. I'm not going to be intimidated. I'm not going to back down. I'm going to hold my ground because I believe that what God has called me to do and the place he's called me to do it in is for a purpose. I'm going to start with verse 8 here and continue on. It says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst to deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you have caused to be dreamed. We've got to understand that there are going to be people around us that are not going to agree with what God has called us to do. There just is. They're going to tell you, oh, don't worry about it. Oh, that's no big deal. Oh, just forget about it. Oh, you poor thing, blah, 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 blah. And the whole time you know that God has called you to be where you are. God is calling you out in some cases. Some of you are being called out. And sometimes in those points of transition, it can be very, very difficult. You haven't been in a transition in your life, I don't think you're alive. Change is happening all around us, isn't it? The problem is we don't adjust to the changes. Changes are occurring. God is moving it differently by his Spirit than he did yesterday and so on and so forth. He's always the same. But guess what? What he's doing is different. And sometimes we can get so rigid in the way we are, we can always just be so focused on the way it used to be in Jerusalem that all of a sudden, man, now I'm in Babylon. I don't like it here. Every once in a while, I got to go to a conference for my work, and I'll go up to Las Vegas. I hate Las Vegas. I hate it there. I hate it there. So I could just imagine, like, all of a sudden, God calls me to Las Vegas, Nevada, right? I'd be like, God, I do not want to be in Las Vegas. I don't like it here. This is Babylon. I don't want to be here. And I could develop a bad attitude about it, and I could complain about it, and I could murmur, and I could call like-minded people and say, well, you know, what do you think? Do you think I should be in Las Vegas? Oh, no, that's a terrible city. I don't know why God would ever send you to Las Vegas. So I can relate to this. Can you relate to what they're talking about in the story? It's like, man alive, I just want to go back to Phoenix. I want to go to Faith Builders Church. I want to hang out with Pastor Say. All of a sudden, God's got you in a place that maybe you don't want to be in. But why does he have you there? For a purpose. I'm going to read on just a little bit here because really interesting that right before that verse I read that I opened with, here's what the word of the Lord is. So in verse 10 it says, for thus says the Lord. How many years? After 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will then visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. And then it just goes right into that. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Give you a future and a hope. Call on me and go and pray to me. I will listen to you. So no matter where you're at, no matter what you're facing, no matter how you feel about it, if you'll just learn to pray to God, God, give me the peace that I need to fulfill your will, he will listen to you. He will respond to you. And isn't it interesting, even in the place that you would rather not be, God is asking you to build houses and to do all the things that you normally would have done, which means that your ability to prosper even in the midst of the place that God has you. Don't allow the circumstances of how you feel. Don't allow your feelings and emotions and all that stuff start to ruin or to infiltrate what God has called you to do. You've got a million reasons why you can't. Amen? You got one that says you can't, and that is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can. I don't have to back down this time. I don't have to give in this time. What I have to bring to the table is of value. Some of you are struggling in the area of, I don't have anything to contribute, or it's too difficult. Maybe I'll say the wrong thing again. You've got to understand that if you're in prayer, you're in your word, you're serving God, and you are believing God is going to put you right where he wants you to be, he's going to open the doors that need to be opened. But he's going to do it through you. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't settle. Don't step back. Step into what God has called you to do. Don't get so focused on all the things 10 years down the road. Don't get focused on all the things that happened yesterday. Just stay right where you are. And God will begin to move on your behalf. You will know the words you need to say. You will know the things you need to do. You will know where you need to go. You won't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine any longer. You are going to have your feet firmly planted where God put you in that place for the purpose he wants to accomplish. One of the things I know about weakness is the lack of resistance will create weakness, won't it? Absolutely. You go lay down on a couch for the next 6 months and try to get up. You won't even be able to do it. Resistance is necessary to develop the strength and for the purpose in which God has sent it there for. Well, that's the devil. That's this. That's that. Listen, don't worry about what the devil's doing. The devil is defeated. It is over. It is finished. Don't blame him for anything. Just say, God, you must have me here in this place to do something for your kingdom. I don't understand it, but you know what? I'm going to get on my face before you. I'm going to pray. Many of you need to get into a position in your life where you feel you need to get into prayer. Where you feel like, my goodness, I don't know what else I'm going to do in my life. Push yourself. Get yourself out there. Let people know that you're there. Don't give up on the hope and the dream that God put in your heart. It's there for a reason. It is there for a greater purpose. And no matter what you will have to face, you are called to bear your own cross. Pick it up. Embrace it. Hold it to your chest, and don't let anyone take it away from you. You never know the circumstance that you're dealing with in your life right now today. You overcoming in the way that God wants you to overcome that situation, and how you would be able to minister to people, hundreds of people, potentially thousands of people, could be touched, moved, and inspired by what you chose to go through in accordance with God's word. Don't get caught up on your environment. Don't get caught up into the circumstance. Don't get caught up in the way it used to be. Don't get caught up in what's going to happen in my future. You have no idea what's going to happen in your future. But if you'll take the moment that you have, this moment, right now. Some of us are waiting for eternity, and I'm here today to tell you you're in eternity right now. Now is eternity. Everything ever happened in the past happened in that moment. Everything that's going to happen in your future is going to happen in that moment. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Don't worry about what has already happened. Stay focused on what God has for you to do. Don't budge. Don't give up. Don't give in. And we all get there, don't we? We all get, when I go into work today, maybe I just won't do what I normally would do, you know, and I'll just let that person do what they got to do because they're so upset and worried and bothered and everything, and I don't want to rock the boat. Am I talking to anybody? You're there for a reason. You may not like that job. You may have another job that you liked better in the past. But if you will just begin to establish peace in your life, in all circumstances, and that's my challenge to you all this week, become aware when you're not in peace. Just become aware. Who's in control of your peace? Me? Am I going to be there? I'm not going to be there. Don't call me. Hallelujah. Pastor Barb's phone's on 24/7, I heard now. I'll publish the number on Facebook this afternoon. She loves phone calls. Do not call Pastor Barb. You're responsible for your peace. You. And no amount of your worry is going to contribute to anything good. Matthew 6:25. You've read this scripture 100 times. You've been around the kingdom. But I tell you, when I read it this time, I was just like, God, you were really trying to use Jesus to confirm something so important because he was so redundant in everything he said. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body and what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they are neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Let your heavenly Father feed them every single day. I've never seen a bird that was worried about where they're going to get their next meal. They're just freaking out. Just going, I don't know what I'm going to do. There's no more seed. I don't know what I'm going to do. The bird's feeders are all disappearing. No. When it gets cold, what do? They fly south. When it gets too hot, what do? They fly north. God's given them the ability. It's beyond just the bird, right? It's like this ability for that bird to know where it needs to be to get all that it needs. And it goes on and says, are you not of more value than the birds? Which of you, by worrying, can add anything to yourself? So why do you worry about clothes? Women, hallelujah. You have a whole closet full of clothes. Are there any women in this place who are lacking clothing? I don't think so. Sometimes you don't dress like that. Hallelujah. Letting it all hang out. It's all right. Well, we're going to get back on track here. You got all these clothes, and yet you don't wear, well, whatever. Let's just move on. Hallelujah. Cover it up, girls. Come on now. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, and they don't spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, okay, let's keep going, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, oh you of little faith? Oh you of what? Man, he's called them a name. Jesus called them a name. Like you little whatever. Like, you don't live like call yourself a disciple of me? You little... Oh, come on. It says, therefore, do not worry. Man, he said this like 100 times. Saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. That's you and I. We want more stuff, don't we? For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He's not even talking about the fact that you don't need them. But seek first the kingdom of God. And I've been around the church a long time, and I've been a worker around the kingdom. And I used to think do have was the way to go. Do more in the kingdom, have more in the kingdom. Do more in the kingdom, have more in the kingdom. But he's not talking about that. He's talking about, like, you're not in peace. You're not in joy. You're not in love. You're not in all these other states of being. And you're going into action and thinking you can have more. But really, what do you have at the end of the day? No matter how many buildings Faith Builders Church will build in its vast lifetime of generations, potentially, we're never going to take one of these buildings with us. You ain't going to take it. I don't care how much money you have. You're not even going to take so much as a red cent with you. But yet we worry about these things, and we think about these things, and we judge each other about these things, and all this stuff, just blah, blah, blah. It's all about how much I can get, and I don't have what they have, so now I got to get more, and I'll whip my credit card out. Hallelujah, I got a $15,000 credit limit. Yeah, woo, real exciting. Yeah, go charge that thing up. You'll develop friends you never knew you had, and guess what? They'll call you every day. We having fun? It says, seek first the kingdom of God. It's not all about the work. It's all about the work and his right standing to do it. And all the things that you need will be added to you. It says, don't worry about tomorrow. I just went into a few moments ago. For tomorrow will worry about its own self. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I think we just need to get more focused on being in a position with God that may not be making a difference in this moment, but is guaranteed to make a difference if we'll step out. There's a difference between being a Christian and being a Christian who's going to be all about faith and all about what I can accomplish for the kingdom of God. It's not me. It's not you. It's a purpose. It's a purpose. And that God has you right where he needs you to learn what you need to learn. And one thing I know is once I can learn something through experience, I have something called wisdom. It's not just reading something out of a book. It's not just even the Word of God and the Logos part of that, right? Like, I can read the Bible. And it has words, and it has sentences, and I can, you know, reason with it. But there's something that goes beyond the Logos part of God, which is I can understand it or memorize it, into the actual action of the Word of God in my life, which is the Rhema part. It's the active part of God's Word, where it's not just a thought or a feeling or a scripture or something I can memorize, but it's something that I say, yes, I can rightly handle the Word of God. And it can touch me to my deepest parts of the core of my being, where the bone and the marrow come together, my deepest parts. That's where God wants all of us. It's not about how comfortable we can be, and certainly not all about being in Jerusalem every day of our lives. Sometimes God's got some new business. Amen? Romans 8. If you haven't read this chapter in a long time, if you're struggling in your life, I encourage people to read the whole book of Romans. You'll find out who you are in there and what God's plans are for his kingdom and for you as an individual. But Romans 8:38-39 says, "For I am persuaded," say, "I am persuaded, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which I have found in Christ Jesus, who has been made Lord of my life, not by him, but by me putting him in that position in my life. And when you can understand what it means to really work as unto the Lord, really toil as unto the Lord. Listen, many of you are struggling in life right now. And unfortunately, some of us are in situations where we're just doing our own thing. Anybody in here ever done your own thing? Hallelujah, I'm the only one. Hallelujah, I'm the only one who's ever done his own thing. And how many people in here know when you get off doing your own thing that you're still running into trouble? It's still a struggle. But the beauty of doing what God's called you to do is when the struggle comes, it's actually serving a purpose. So you can then embrace the circumstances you're dealing with and say, you know what? God's up to something in my life. God's trying to teach me something. God's trying to bring me to a place. God's trying to advance me. God's trying to do something in my life that could not have happened without these circumstances unfolding the way they have. Because this isn't my plan anymore. I gave up on my plan a long time ago. It would take me more effort now to go back to the boat that I jumped out of than it would just be to go to the other side. That's the place of faith I'm talking about, where you're getting up every day challenged, not by the world, not by circumstances, not by any of those things, challenged by God. To say, you know what? You can be better. You can be different. You can do the things I've called you to do. And you're going, oh, man, I don't know if I can do it today. I don't know. I just don't know if I could do that today. That is the place I'm talking about. Where you can go into prayer and to say, God, I need a breakthrough in my life. I don't understand where I'm at. And this is a beautiful thing. Because I know you know everything. Guess how much this guy knows? Zero. I know a little bit. I know how to drive my car to my home, right? I know the directions on how to get there. Who has never been to my home? Somebody? So, do you know how to get to my home? So that means you don't know everything. Not picking on you. He's bigger than I am. Ushers. I don't know everything either. And this is my point. I don't know everything. But guess who thinks he knows everything? We do. Don't you think you know everything? When things aren't going right, don't you just think you know how to handle everything and you're just, boy, I'm right and they're wrong and everything and blah, blah, blah. And we get to the point where we're right. We don't know everything. And the point of prayer is so beautiful because it connects you to the mind of Christ. We call it revelation. Like, we've got to have a word for it, right? Like, how does that information get to me to where I can understand it with my dull mind at best? But that's exactly what can happen in the moment of prayer. All of a sudden, something can move into your life that you didn't know before. And you're like, whoa. And if you'll look back, at how you felt 2 minutes ago. Toiling. Anxiety, depression, fear, doubt. And then all of a sudden you shifted into this place of prayer and you said, God, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's going to be done by your Spirit. God, minister to me right now, right where I'm at. And he will do it in a way that is so unusual, but it will give you the insight that you need. Amen. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, be anxious for nothing. Everything by what? Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will pass all understanding. I'm going to close with this scripture in Isaiah 55. I was not able to read this entire scripture at the last service. We just ran out of time, so I want to make sure I get to this. It says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, hear me prophetically today. You who have no money, come, buy, eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? You've got to understand what you need is prayer. What you need is the Word of God. What you need are those things. And they're going to give you all the things you need of, you have need of. And your wages for what does not satisfy. Listen carefully. Eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in what? In abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Praise the Lord, we've already got one. The sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. It's in that moment. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, when you are in the place that God has called you to be in, seek the Lord while he may be found to deliver you from those feelings, from those thoughts. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I love this part. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth in bud, so it may give seed to the sower. Pastor Barb talked about this morning, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. This is you standing in your circumstance that God has placed you in. And you shall go out with joy and be led out with what? Peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Wherever you are this morning, I want to challenge you this week. Go into your week. Get up in the morning. If you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, get on your face before God. Ask him for the peace that passes all understanding. Guard your heart and your mind. There's so many other scriptures I don't have time to go into this morning. But I want you to get up in the morning. I want you to scan yourself throughout the day. How do I feel right now? Am I in peace right now? And if you're not in peace, ask God to give you the peace that you need. He will hear your voice, and he will establish not only peace for you, but peace in your environment, just like he did and he promised for the people of God in Babylon. Amen? Go ahead and just bow your heads real quick.